Recording is on.
Hello and welcome to October 26th. This is the TPAC presentation of the Credentials Community Group with myself, Heather Bassa, and Mike Prorock. We are not following our regular protocol in order to present an update on what is happening in the Credentials Community Group today. So I guess we'll just start out screen sharing. Mike, while I screen share, can you like follow through the queue?
I can be watching queue. Yeah.
It's okay. Here we go. Okay. All right. Are you guys able to see my screen?
All good.
This presentation is also available here. So you can follow along separately. Okay. All right. So we're going to go over some new chairs, just an overview of the group, which a bunch of you folks on this call might already know about. Kind of look at our year in review, look at our strategic initiatives, and look at some of the work items we've been working on. Slide three, as a reference, we have some of the terms that we normally use in order to orient folks who are not used to what we're talking about. From a leadership perspective, the Credentials Community Group has three co-chairs. Mike Prorock's our newest co-chair. He's great. I'm going to be finishing up my two-year seat in summer, and Wayne has been, will continue on for another year. The mission of the Credentials Community Group has pretty much stayed the same through much of its charter. It started in 2014. But the point of the Credentials Community Group is to explore the creation, storage, presentation, verification, and user control of credentials. And the community group is a pre-standards meeting. It's where those of us who are interested in these technologies are curious on how we can apply them to solve problems, can work through, do kind of some of the pre-standards work that is needed before it can get moved into a working group to go on standards track. the Credentials Community Group, we kind of see us as kind of like this incubation place where from here, different projects go into working groups for standards tracks, like the Verifiable Credentials Working Group, the DID Working Group. We also have task forces internally where if you have a specific topic that you want to do a deep dive on, for example, Verifiable Credentials for Education is one of our task forces, then we support the creation of a task force to look specifically in that area. We also look to cross-pollinate with other groups, and the CCG is very active in cross-pollinating with DIF. There is the Secure Data Storage and Identity Hub task force or meeting that happens in conjunction with DIF. And then we also support a lot of the work that is funded by the Silicon Valley Innovation Program by Anil John. Anil John funds companies that are developing technology and products, developing products and solutions that use the technology that has been concepted in the CCG and then more formalized in the Verifiable Credentials working group and the DID working group. But that work, because they want the Silicon Valley Innovation Program wants to have that be available to everyone. A lot of that work is done within the CCG repo, so it's available to everyone. So we really see the Credentials Community Group as a kind of common place that those in the community can participate, can influence, and do work on technology or use cases or other types of nearby supportive activities to further support the adoption, understanding, and application of the technologies that kind of emerged through this community group. We have a very active membership. since it's a community group, oh, there was another slide I often have in here. I don't have in here right now. I probably, like you guys in TPAC, have a good understanding of the difference between, I'm going to just go back to the slide, the difference between a working group and a community group. A working group is, you must have paid W3C membership to be a member, a voting member of a working group. And these working groups are spun up with very concise, clear charters for the work they're going to be doing in them. And then, at the end of it, they're basically, the deliverable is a specification that is then, adopted and ratified, by W3C, as to use for that particular technology. A working group is a bit more flexible. You have to have a W3C account, but you don't need to have a paid membership. And anyone can participate in the work items. You just have to sign the IPR agreements. Community groups are completely volunteer run in all aspects of both operation and co-chairs, whereas working groups do have W3C support for some of the operational aspects. Community groups can kind of have more longevity. They can stick around for a lot longer. This community group has been around since 2014, as I mentioned, where working groups come up for a very specific period of time, a couple years, maybe more, to work on a specific thing. And then when that's complete, it kind of closes back up. And in the case of the Verifiable Credentials Working Group, you know, that kind of incubated in the CCG first, spun out on its own separately, then kind of some of the maintenance stuff was happening within the CCG, and then there was enough maintenance work that needs to be done that they wanted to spin up a Verifiable Credentials Maintenance Working Group. And so kind of the community group and the credentials community group is like the you know, village green, like the commons, where any kind of work that's being done or inquiry into technologies or applying those types of things can happen within the constraints of the community group. And then when things get more specific, they can move into a working group. So community groups have a bit more leeway and flexibility, both in our charters and our processes and protocols, than working groups do. And so that can be a double-edged sword at times. Okay, so on to active membership. So the CCG is one of the largest community groups. I just checked the membership numbers right before this call, and I had to update it. So we have 441 members right now. That's quite a few. We do have four task forces, as I mentioned, one that is combined with DIF. And we are open to supporting other task forces or other activities that folks might want to do under the umbrella of the CCG, if it makes sense. The industries of organizations in the CCG represent a broad variety of verticals, from education, supply chain, security, identity, government, blockchain, storage. So we're very open and diverse in the kinds of backgrounds and the topic areas that folks who participate in the community from. We do have very active mailing list discussions. They do ebb and flow. Sometimes the mailing list can be a little bit intimidating because we have a lot of very smart, opinionated, wise folks. And so often there's a lot of lurkers on the community. Our average weekly attendance is anywhere from 25 to 40. And for more popular sessions, it can be a lot more. Just kind of going over a quick history of the CCG, which I kind of alluded to a little bit before in one of the earlier slides, is this community group was started in 2014 and for the first few years really focused on web payments and some educational things. And then from there, spun into some Verifiable Credentials Working Group and more of the activities that were happening and the work items around to develop those types of technologies. Then there was this really interesting thing that was happening in the identity space. It was this curiosity into how can we use blockchain for identity, which a lot of us in the identity space were really worried about. And so we how to let these conversations in other places that are adjacent to the CCG. And then at a certain point, when those conversations that like happened at the Internet Identity Workshop became mature enough to bring in to have a kind of community pre-standards conversation, we brought those into the, they came into the credentials community group, and that was around 2017. And so that's when we started really looking into decentralized identifiers to understand strong authentication for verifiable credentials for both supply chain and non-person identity. And non-person identity is really interesting because you don't have to be so concerned about some of the privacy concerns that we have as humans when you're talking about corporations or products or things being shipped on a supply chain. This is also the time when we were looking at blockchain-based cryptographic proof mechanisms. So a lot of that work happened within the CCG, and then we decided to, there was enough support to start up the DID working group, and the DID working group work items went over into that working group. Now, starting like 2019, we're kind of going back and revisiting verifiable credentials. What have we learned? Where do we need to iterate on it? Where can we improve? What new use cases are there? What new technologies could potentially help us be more effective in reaching our goals that we originally had? And we're also spending a lot of time talking about storage. So the storage of data so that it can be securely stored, so that it can be securely shared, and that you can trust the data when it is shared, along with keeping the privacy of the data. A few years ago, I did a survey querying the community why they participated in the CCG. And these were kind of some of the high level things. So the CCG is kind of one of the leading edges areas where technologists and folks who are interested in technology can have real world, no BS conversations about what's happening in the space. And you can get a broad view of the ecosystem. We do talk about very specific things like verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers, but then we go beyond it. We go beyond things. Sometimes it's philosophical, sometimes it's theoretical, but it's kind of like the first baby step to trying to understand what this new technology can do and maybe what the impact of some of this new technology can be. So that's one of the really big values that people have for both attending and participating in the credentials community group. When we get down to like the nuts and bolts of like what we do here, it comes down to work items. And our work items have a very specific process. And if you're curious about it, you can look at the work item process through the link here too. We have kind of a couple, we have different categories of work items. We have work items that are ongoing. And these are things that there is no final deliverable, like a final deliverable that you can say, okay, we've completed that. We can check that off our list. These are ongoing activities that are continuing to support discussion or might support other specific work items or might support a registry or kind of work in technical work in progress that will continue to be updated. Then we have other work items that do have a deliverable or a stated deliverable at the end. And those deliverables can be a variety of different things. They can be a commentary. And so we wanted our deliverables to support both technical deliverables and non-technical deliverables. And some examples of non-technical deliverables are use case documents or maybe kind of a report or a community note on privacy concerns or something like that, that we could as a community say, okay, this is work that was done within the community and work that still supports the development of the technology and the understanding around the implementation of the technology. But it can also It also supports technical deliverables as well. And so these things are commentaries, notes, and specifications. And if you really want to get into it, we have a work item process. But we try to keep it pretty light so that anyone who wants to submit a work item, we have a very, we have standard requirements that you must have. And once you meet those requirements, those are approved, and then you go ahead and you can work on the work item. I did want to point out two new updates to our work item process, which we've gone through, which we've added this year. The W3C Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct was completed, I think, the end of last year. And so we did add a note so that all work items are covered by the Code of Ethics. And then I am a personal fan of increasing clarity and reducing jargon. And so I learned about the Heilmeyer Catechism. If you have not heard about this, it is a standard DARPA practice so that anyone who is doing government contracting, and I learned about this when I was doing government proposals, it was requested that you include the answers to the Heilmeyer Catechism questions in any proposals. And in the process of going through and answering the Heilmeyer Catechism questions, it really requires you to sit and get extremely clear in plain and describe in plain language what you're doing and why it's different and why it's improving it and then why you want it to be successful. So taking some inspiration from that, we added 5 questions to the work item requirements to the process in order to make these work items more understandable and accessible to people outside the community. And it's not just about reducing the jargon and explaining it in plain language. It's also a request to look at, like, what are you building on from the past? How are you pushing forth the limits of the past? And how, what kind of new innovations are you bringing that you think will make it successful in the future? And then it's also looking at how can we include more diverse perspectives in the work item? And we realize that this can be kind of challenging in certain situations. And we didn't want, like, diversity to just mean one thing. It means different viewpoints and different perceptions of how this technology could be used or applied. And so that includes both different skill sets who come from different backgrounds, from, say, design or anthropological or user experience, but then also different global locations, because the cultural viewpoint that we grow up in is different from the US or Europe or Asia. And so we wanted to encourage but not require work items to try to bring in these different perspectives. And then, you know, the CCG and the work we do at the W3C with standards is very technical, but it impacts a lot of people who aren't technical. And there's a lot of people who aren't technical that are very curious about learning what this means. And so the last question we really like to ask is, you know, and this can be quite challenging for us in the community. It's like, what actions are you taking to make the work item accessible to a non-technical audience? Sometimes it's not appropriate if it's a specification that's only going to be used by developers. You know, maybe that's not completely appropriate. But we can still take kind of the idea of this question and say, if there's new developers that are coming in that are fresh to this, how can we make this more accessible to them so that they can get more active about using this technology? And so I think I'm going to pass this over to Mike now. Mike, are you good to take over?
I am indeed. So, yeah, thanks, Heather. Great intro, obviously. So I wanted to talk a little bit, just especially if there's new folks to the CCG or unaware, kind of how we tend to categorize things and group things. And then, you know, really there's kind of the obviously the underlying task force side, which is like, you know, keep either the CCG itself functioning. So stuff like infrastructure, et cetera. But then also, you know, stuff that, you know, handles with grouping is of types of projects like EDU, et cetera, right? But that's kind of the core stuff. But at a top level, we really kind of have, you know, being credential oriented, right? We have items that are kind of shared by all items, you know, are leveraged by a lot of things within, the CCG and other work items there and across the board, right? And that's things that are directly related to DIDs or VCs, right? Those obviously have their own, working groups now, have their own specs, but there's also stuff that, in work that gets incubated here that then moves out into kind of maintenance or updates on that stuff. And there's also a lot of stuff like the various DID methods, right? Specification stuff that gets done, here in the CCG. Then the other type of project that we tend to have a lot of is how do you actually use and exchange items like DIDs or VCs, right? Or prove things about them. And that's where we get into, and I noticed the typo here. It's now the VC API. It's a verifiable credential API. I forgot to update that, last night, evidently, universal wallet, et cetera, right? Basically, if I've got a DID or a verifiable credential, how do I actually perform those operations in an interoperable way? With third parties. And then what kinds of things define the language that I'm exchanging in that or putting in those items, such as a wallet, right? And this is where things like the vocabularies, and whatnot come into play. So whether that's, you know, vaccine, security, education, et cetera. And we'll take a look at some of these different kinds of projects in just a little bit here. So that's kind of a broad kind of it's just a broad way to think about the different types of work that go on within the CCG. If we pop down, we've got a chart coming up that this categorization will probably help on a little bit, but more or less maps over to what we just described there. But looking at the timeline of the broad projects that have gone on that have been involved in this area, that CCG is involved in, obviously kind of started out with JSON linked data and a lot of items around that. And then really getting into things like RDF dataset normalization and verifiable credentials early on, right? Ways of leveraging this stuff, actually signing this data, making sure that we know how that stuff's going to get signed, et cetera. And so there's been a variety of work items over the years on, you know, various topics. These days we've got stuff like, the verifiable credentials is out in maintenance. In fact, I think, I saw Manu on the mailing list just popped out a, quick update on the latest version that has quite a few little clean, nice little cleanups and things like that in the, standard, from their working group. DID working group is going through some formal objection stuff and, whatnot right now, but I think the, decentralized identifier stuff will move forward at some point. It's just, working through some of those normal processes on the standard side. And we're seeing, you know, I would say a lot of increased activity around, you know, how do we exchange verifiable credentials and kind of complete the ecosystem, right? You know, what types of verifiable credentials are getting exchanged between third parties? How do we validate the, interoperability of those items, and then how do we exchange this stuff over APIs. So looking at, we'll jump to the next slide here rather than getting into crypto methods and stuff like that, even though some of that stuff's important and we can deep dive later on some of that if you want. But, you know, standing meetings that kind of occur basically, and kind of core work items that are tracked alongside those. And these are up on our Google Calendar, of which link does go out to the mailing list pretty much every week also. If you need that, just pop a note on the mailing list or just watch the mailing list and you'll see it come by with the agenda for the weekly. We do run a pretty standing, I think it's every other week now, one-on-one call just for anyone interested in credentials, VCs, DIDs, et cetera, just to kind of intro folks into the meeting space. Typically myself or Heather or a few others will be involved and can kind of help point folks at the right resources and where to get started, et cetera. VCEDU. Unfortunately, Carrie had a conflict and was not able to be on today, but she runs the education side of things, and they've been doing some just great work there. Verifiable credentials API on Tuesdays, afternoons. Secure data store, I think it's Thursdays, if I remember correctly. Not looking at my calendar at the moment. And then, we run a traceability, vocab and interop meeting, every Tuesdays as well. I think there's, I'd have to let one of the citizenship guys talk to some of the, items they have from a standing meeting. I think those kind of spin up and spin down as needed. But those are some of the key items going on there. I don't know, Heather, do you want to talk to VCEDU in 101 real quick? And then I'll jump back for the VC API.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Like Mike said, Carrie is one of the co-chairs of the VCEDU. Actually, she's looking for some new co-chairs right now, so we're hoping to have some new co-chairs for this. And so this task force was kicked off by Kim Hamilton Duffy, which was one of our previous CCG co-chairs, with a focus on looking at verifiable credentials for education. And the last few months, or I think like most of this year, they've been focusing on use cases. And so this is an example of the work that's happening in the community it's really understanding how people are using, how folks in the education industry are using or want to use verifiable credentials. And so from these use cases, two interesting things are occurring. So in one case, they're identifying very specific education use cases and technology needs for education markets. But then they've also identified other types of features and technologies that they have this idea is like, it's not just for education. Other industries are going to want to need this as well. And so Carrie's been working on a lot of that kind of stuff within her VC Edu task force. And at a certain point, those items are going to be brought to the main CCG call, and we'll have a broader discussion on, you know, is there demand for these types of features or these needs, or can we broaden these use cases to not just to fit beyond the educational situation? So this kind of shows in a way how these task forces can function kind of as an umbrella of us, but then the CCG can support it. And so we need the work that's coming out of these task forces to kind of be able to bubble back up into the main CCG call to be able to support the broader ecosystem. And so you can click through these links. There's a couple GitHub repos where they are working on collecting the use cases and the models. They have very good use case templates. And so you can go check it out there. One of the work items I've been really active on this year is the CCG 101. And the purpose of the CCG 101 was, again, my whole goal as co-chair has been to lower the barrier for folks interested in this technology to understand it faster, to be able to know where they want to engage, to be able to understand how to apply it in their own work, and to participate within the community. And so kind of I kicked off this CCG 101 work item, and we had a really great group of, eight folks that came together. And the point of the 101 is to really just collect and create 101 type material to acclimate new participants to both the technology that we're developing here and also the processes we use here at the W3C. Those of us have been here or been in the community for a while or been a co-chair or have done work items, we understand these processes, but I don't know that we necessarily understand that they look really intimidating from the outside. And so part of this is just the CCG 101 has just been trying to really clearly and again explain with no jargon in plain language what we're doing here. And so we have had a couple 101 calls, 101 sessions, and these 101 sessions are presentations that are given on a specific topic. So we have an intro to the CCG, which kind of similar to what we've gone over today. Mike did an intro on verifiable credentials in the context of supply chain. We've had a 101 be done on traceability, and Carrie's done an intro on the educational aspects of verifiable credentials. We know we have other ones in the future. We want to, you know, develop more tech, more content. For example, one of the things that I think is really important that is a question that's come up is, what are DIDs? Well, we can figure out what DIDs are, but like, how do you pick a DID method? How do you know which DID method's the right one for you? Because there's like 100 of them and they all have their own secret sauce, and some of them work better for certain use cases or others. So someone that's new coming into the community that's really curious and wants to know which ones to use for their situation doesn't necessarily need or want to do all the heavy cognitive lifting of research and figuring out for themselves. If we can help them, they can get up to speed faster and better participate in the community, which will result in a better, broader application of this technology, which is our goal here. We also meet, like Mike said, every other week as a 101, and so you can join us there. I'll kick it back to you, Mike, for the VCAPI.
Sure. So talking a little bit about the VCAPI, that really spun out of a couple of different work items that really merged up. When you go back and look at the GitHub history, et cetera, talk to folks like Marcus that were involved early, really came about from kind of two goals. Like as verifiable credentials became a thing, we knew we needed, as a community knew we needed a way at an API level to consistently issue and verify things like credentials and presentations of credentials, et cetera. And that's really what that spun out of. Over the last, I would say, 6-9 months, there's been a little bit of a reset in that, you know, after doing some interop testing and, you know, public showcases around some of that, all parts of some of the companies, it's kind of a real goal to step back and say, okay, are we actually covering all the use cases here in the, you know, in what's now named the VCAPI? And, that, has certainly highlighted some gaps. You know, previously we were seeing things like Chappie for, presentation, exchange and credential handling and stuff like that, but up at the browser level. And we really need a way to do system to system. And that's really what APIs do, right? So it's really to get that defined and, testable and really to show that interoperability. There's still some gaps on the holder side of things. There's still some gaps in terms of signed verifiable presentations and things like that that have limited support, you know, by some of the implementing parties, but that's moving along. And one thing that I think is important versus something like Chappie to recognize is that at the end of the day, the, you know, whatever API is defined or utilized for, you know, creation, you know, so issuing, verification and exchange of presentations and credentials really has to address both human in the loop use cases as well as system to system type use cases. And that's important because a lot of folks tend, especially if they're coming out of the crypto world, tend to think about this stuff more from a wallet, you know, human interaction type scenario rather than some of the large scale bulk stuff that some of us have to deal with. And so it can be easy to look at those different use cases and forget that the other one is just as important, right? And it's still going on for other reasons, right? Regardless of the perspective you're coming from. So talking a bit about vocabularies next, there's a couple of kind of key vocab projects, some of the probably more interesting yet in some ways also boring, tedious, and absolutely mandatory work that goes on actually happens in this vocabulary side of things. So things like the security vocab really are what enable things like verifiable credentials to work. This was a little rough early on, right? Some of the early vocab projects definitely had a lot of manual creation and updating of single docs and stuff like that. And, that's been evolving, right? We've been seeing with more recent, vocabulary projects like the traceability vocab, a shift into automated creation based on things like JSON schema to guarantee, you know, a little beyond just the JSON like data side of things, you know, guarantee some actual schema level type safety and structure, as well as to automate testing. And can you actually issue a credential off the stuff that you say you're going to define as a, you know, vocabulary, term for, credentials, et cetera. And so, so that I think has been a really positive, forward progress, and is proving, at least on the traceability side where I tend to be, spend a lot of my time, has proved to be pretty scalable. It doesn't mean that all the kinks aren't worked out yet, but it's shaping up into something quite usable. Probably as importantly, it's setting us up to do things better around automated testing and exchange of credentials against things like the VC API from these vocabularies. So that's an area of high active interest, I think, to my, not only to myself, but to the rest of the community. A key thing to bear in mind, if you do have an area that needs, you know, kind of a knowledge domain, right, that needs a vocabulary, and one, because one doesn't exist in, JSON-like data or RDF, et cetera, we tend to try to prefer extensions of things like schema.org and well-defined existing vocabularies, right? So on the traceability side, we're leveraging obviously schema.org, but also things like GS1 and, some of the UN vocabularies, because a lot of traceability goes back into supply chain type use cases. But then there are other areas like chain of custody around, genetic sampling and stuff like that that may not be covered at all, under existing vocabularies. So, definitely an active, you know, area of development that underpins a lot of the work and makes a lot of the broader ecosystem, function. So, kind of move to a wrap up and open it up for, questions here. But if you do want to get started, with us, I obviously would recommend hopping on one of the 101 meetings, fire a note to the mailing list, just come to this weekly meeting, right? It's open to the public. It's just, if you want to contribute to work items, you know, you do have to have the IPR agreement signed, but totally fun to just hop on and, get up and going. And, you know, poke around the GitHub, see our walk items, that are, out there and, work that's going on, and, off we go. So Heather, anything else you want to add for folks kind of coming in, for the first time here?
No, I guess I could offer to kind of like show around the GitHub or kind of give like a little bit of a tour of, you know, some of the sites that we have. You know, here's our GitHub, and you can see like the, if you're interested in the VC API, here's our repo. Here's a traceability vocab repo. We have our minutes for our meetings here, so you can always kind of come back and look at it. And it's the meetings, it's the minutes for all the task force meetings, like the education and the VC API and then the main call, things like that. Also, we do have a folder of the CCG 101 meetings. So we have several for there have been a couple of our calls that we've recorded, and then we've also done recorded some of those intros, and those are here. And I don't know if this link is anywhere. I'll pop this on the. I'll pop this on the recording. Pop this here. Just trying to see if there's, yeah, I mean, this is my Google with all my CCG stuff. And so there's kind of like a lot of different links, a lot of different places we can get data and information. But the, if you want to just orient yourself with work items, the GitHub is a good place. And, you know, I'm looking to see one of these might be a good one. Here, let's look at this one. You know, this README here, it does talk, there is information to try to make it accessible if you're new and you want to just like, what is this? I want to like learn what this is, link to other documents, you know, stuff like that. And I guess we could just open it up for questions now.
Yeah, I think that's probably best. We do use a queuing process here in case you're new. So all you have to do is just type Q plus, so the letter Q and the plus symbol in the chat, and hit enter, and you will automatically be added to the queue, and we will call on you. So.
I guess I'll also note too is, I don't participate in a lot of other, working groups or community groups, but the CCG has a lot of infrastructure in place that we use to run our meetings. A lot of like our operations. So we use Jitsi. We have, you know, minutes that are processed. We have this, way to use IRC and the Jitsi chat together. And so if you are a co-chair or you're in another group and you're curious about how we do this, you know, Manu and Kim have really done a lot of work, to make us have really robust infrastructure. Bob, I see you're on the queue.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, all. By the way, my apologies if this is a profoundly stupid question. But can you tell me, for someone who is not a W3C member, and thus isn't in the, say, the DID working group, where is an appropriate place to propose or to discuss yet another DID method?
Great question, actually, Bob. The DID registries is actually the place to go in. And well, there's two ways you could do that. If you actually were interested in just getting a DID method kind of hashed out, if you don't have a lot of the tech details yet, I would actually propose that as a work item in the CCG. So I would just go to all, and to do that, Heather, do you want to go to, I see you've got GitHub up. Do you want to go create a new issue or start down that path under community? So you would just go to the CCG community repo and say issues and new issue, and there's a template for a new work item. One benefit, I would recommend starting there if you don't have it fully hashed out. If you do have it fully hashed out, I would just go straight to the registries and open an issue and put a PR against the DID registry. And I'll pull up the link to that and put that in the chat. But if you have not, like I said, if it's early in the process, like, hey, there's some details we need to work out and stuff like that, that's really one thing that the CCG does very well and can help get you good eyes from folks that have authored or dug into the guts of various DID methods. Like I work on DID web with Ori, pretty reasonable amount. Also do a lot of work with DID key and some of the Scitree stuff. But there are folks that are way deeper on that stuff than I am, fortunately. And, those folks are around here quite often. So.
Okay. Now, of course, there would also be the case of, yeah, I think it's fully hashed out, but I'm not quite arrogant enough to,
Yeah. Well, and one benefit. So the thing is, when you look at the registries, right, the registries really point to somewhere else. So it's quite helpful unless you've already got it hosted up on like a company, page, like Microsoft has like DID Ion and a few others up via DIFF. You know, I would go ahead and just create it as a work item here. That way you've got a place where it can be hosted, change requests can be managed, and then DID registries can point right over to the spec here, right, and the test cases around it, stuff like that. So does that make sense, Bob?
Sure. Thanks.
Yep. Nick, I see you on the queue here.
Oh, hi. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Just a quick query about the next stage. While we're talking about this, so if we've created a new work item proposal, and I understand that the chairs get assigned automatically to review that proposal, or the what would typically be the next stage in that?
Yeah,
would
absolutely.
Be a presentation required, or what would you like?
Not that crazy, actually. That is one nice benefit of the way the work item template is laid out now, is it does actually get most of the questions. So we typically will then bring that up on one of the weekly calls. So whoever the chairs alternate, there's three co-chairs here. So we alternate every week hosting the meeting. So whoever's up will queue up. Hey, yep, I've got a proposed work item. Here's the details on it. And, you know, ultimately that's a space for the community to ask questions back into you for creating that work item, right? Or the party is typically we require two parties from different orgs, right, to go, define a work item. And the reason for that being, that you know, why standardize something if you don't have a need for it, right? So,
makes sense.
But yeah, it's one of those things sometimes I have to explain. So I figured I'd get that one out. So it's a great way. You can, by the way, open an issue and say, hey, I want another person to help, act as an editor on this and get that additional help, right? If someone's interested. But then once that goes through the approval process, and generally you're not, unless there's just something way out of whack, right? A work item's gonna go through. If there's multiple parties that want to go work on something, we try to support that, facilitate that. And once it gets approved, it's periodically report back to the main group, usually on one of the main weekly meetings. And give it a progress update and, kind of keep it going until it gets to the point that it's ready for it to either go further. Some stuff, honestly, though, can just continue to live here, right? There are certain items like certain div methods, et cetera, that may just not ever need to go beyond the community group. But, when we look at items like, some of the interop, items that, trying to think of a good example of this, probably someone like the BBS Plus stuff, right? That may end up be better moving out eventually over to something like IEEE, right? It's a good incubation point for it here. Does that make sense there, Nick?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. I mean, we're slightly unusual in that we're that cooperative one. If you scroll up to the top, we're that one. So we're actually a little consortium of three co-ops, but there are other co-ops who are interested in this. So, what I'll do is I'll ask them to basically chip
exactly.
in and comment on that work item to get their views in there. So we use it as a discussion area. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, precisely. And that's exactly the kind of stuff we're trying to keep rolling here. So Heather, I see you up.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple comments. I wanted to show, and apologies, my dog is a large, loud snorer. If you hear that in the background. So I just wanted to kind of show you. So you'll see like it's proposed work items. So we actually have quite a few in here and, we just went through and most of these have been approved, but here's an example of one. So you can see like the list owner. So you've got two different people from two different companies. They've answered the questions. There's like this was really easy. We're just like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. There was like support from the chairs. So it's just moving forward on that. Other times there'll be a lot of discussion in here in the GitHub, like, what does this mean? Or, you know, have you looked at this type of technology or how are you going to use it with this? And so a lot of those things might get like discussed before it becomes a work item. And then also, like Mike said, we do invite the co-owners or the proposers. Like, so in this case, we'd invite you guys to come and like tell us the project and like the goals. I mean, it's here, but there's also, it's different when you speak at a meeting and then be able to have a discussion and field questions from the community. And then, if everything looks fine, we do a 7-day window and if there's no objections, it gets approved and then you're off to the races. Sometimes there are concerns. And so then we ask for the co-chairs, or not the co-chairs, the co-owners to address those concerns before we move forward with, moving it on as a work item. The other thing I will say too is, if you are interested in a work item and you want some help, I am personally happy to help shepherd you through this process. It was very confusing to me until I became a co-chair. And so kind of part of one of my own personal goals is to make it easier for people to understand the processes and work through the processes in place. So feel free to reach out if you have a work item and you need help running through it.
And just in the interest of getting eyes on, I know some folks are up there, are on here that are normally on here as well. In case you did not go review that item that Nick just recently opened, there's a link to their site with a little more details about what they're doing there. It's pretty interesting. So,
thank you.
Cool. We got a few minutes left. Any last questions? Any words to the, you know, from the wise and the normally present? I know some folks are still over on the verifiable credentials call. Kalia, I see you're on the call. I don't know if you want to add anything from an overall CCG, you know, history and or notes on that stuff. If you're not, also double dipping on the verifiable credentials TPAC meeting.
Oh, I didn't know that was happening at the same time. I'm just here. I can imagine there's a lot of people who would be here that are over there. Awesome. I think that I think the script is really important work, and I think, you know, how I'm looking forward to enhanced, I think there's just a lot of great, there's a lot of great work going on. And my hope is that all that great work can align and we can ship products this year.
Yeah, seriously.
That's like, I do think we need to be mindful there will be a next wave of innovation that comes after us, just like, you know, OpenID started as a baby, one conversation at our first IW, and now it's a massive global standard. That the SSI work is starting to go to market, and we should keep focusing on getting it to market while acknowledging there may be a next wave of innovation coming behind it. But that shouldn't stop us getting stuff to market.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Cool. And I, Mr. Charles, I see you, on the queue. That's you.
Hi, thank you. I was attending the VC working group call, which overlapped with this, but it ended already. So I jumped in here and shared the link to the minutes of that. And it was talking largely about the charter, rechartering and different issues with that. And tomorrow there's another call at 11 a.m. Eastern, that's on the TPAC calendar, that's going to talk more about the V1.1 and V1.2 charter. So I hope the meeting here went well today, and I'll review notes later. Thanks.
Great. No, thanks, Charles. And any, just quick question, any key takeaways as far as rechartering? Are you seeing any potential pitfalls or blockages there?
It seems like it's going, there's the same ongoing challenges of, getting alignment and agreement on things.
Yeah, the normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, review of the charter is welcome, and PRs and issues on it are welcome.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Bob, I see you on the queue here, and I think you'll take us to the top. So.
Okay. Well, sorry. Potentially another dumb user question. But since we're talking about sort of process and such, if I have a question, for instance, I do, you know, and I really just want to work out, you know, just want to talk to some folk about it. For instance, in my specific case, I want to do annotations, but I want to basically have verified annotations. So I want to merge annotations and VC stuff, but the annotations group is dead. So where do I go to ask the question, if I want to do annotations plus verifiable credentials, verifiable claims or whatever? How do I do that?
So I would say, no, it's actually a great question, Bob. And I think there's kind of two answers to that, depending on how much you've thought it through. If it's at kind of like the early notional stage, sometimes that's just, hey, here's a topic for the mailing list. What are thoughts on this? Right. And here's a couple of sentences or a paragraph or two. And kind of some thoughts I have in mind. Does this make sense to anyone? Is this registering? And you just see what bite back you get. If it's more, thoroughly thought through, which in your case, I suspect it might be just knowing you, but, or is going to be close to that. Then I would just go ahead and open up a, you know, a work item issue on the community side. And that then usually those, and concurrent with that, like if you want good feedback in on it, then I would post a link to that issue to the mailing list and say, welcome comments up on GitHub on this. And that way you could kind of start to get collected up around the actual work item discussion itself.
Okay. So so the work items, it's reasonable to have a work item, which is really focused on a very specific application. And
exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So like in our case, like I have, there's like two work items that I spend the bulk of my time on, right? One is the traceability vocab, which is just focused on traceability vocabulary. The other one that I spend a lot of time on is on the traceability interop side, which is just focused on interop between companies working on traceability with that trace vocab and VCs and stuff like that. And so they're very much narrowly focused around that. And were created specifically for those items. I've got a few others that, you know, you can get some very specific stuff. Like there's some Merkle proof stuff for selective disclosure going on right now, right? That's highly, highly specific, right? Is pretty normal for work items. Basically anything that could end up turning into a spec or a standard, right, is a good way to think about it from that technical perspective, though other things can be work items too.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yep. Awesome. So Heather, you want to close this out or any final comments there?
Yeah, no. So I think we just want to have more visibility with the type of work we're doing, make it easy for folks to learn about what we're doing and participate and contribute to the work items. And so with that, I will turn off the recording.